You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Lamed Chet. We're up to the two dots. V'kama notin lo. So the Gemara, the Mishnah talks about the shiur to give to the Kohen, and it mentions that the wool has to be meluban, which means it's already been washed off. Volot so'i and not filthy. Now, this is a little bit strange, isn't it? I mean, before we spoke about, is it considered to be a shinui? If you were malaban, it's considered to be a shinui. That's the mitzvah. Explains the Gemara, you misunderstand the Mishnah, if that's what you think. Tana loshi elab neno v'yitznenelo. It doesn't mean that when the Mishnah says the shear is white wool, that you're supposed to make that wool white to give it to him. It means that the Kohen would be able to take from the wool that you give him after he goes through the washing process, which removes a lot of the weight of the filthy wool, that at that point he'll be left with chamesh sla'im. That's what it means. And that's a whole different way of looking at it.
After process.
It should be, when we say chamesh sla'im, what would remain is chamesh sla'im after process. Kidei la'asot beget katan. And we said that that's a shear of an avnei. Where do we get all of that? You know what I mean? Amr Yeshua ben Levi Omar Kra, remarkably, after the Torah describes the chiyuv of giving reshit hageiz, it adds the next pasuk, ki vov achar Hashem Elokecha mikol shefatecha la'amod l'sharet b'shem Hashem hu vanaf kol hayamim. Well, what, like, I mean, we've been talking about matot kohuna all along. I mean, this is already, we're way past the chiyuv and kerach. I mean, here we are going over the Torah and what is Moshe adding here? To teach us that it's a davar shera'ui l'sherut, that the reshit hageiz is meant to be for something that he could use to do the sherut of the Beit HaMikdash. And that would be the smallest, obviously, I mean, Occam's razor teaches us that that would be the smallest. What would be that smallest thing? Avnit. The Gemara talks this out. How do you know the avnit? Maybe it's a big thing, the me'il. That's our cloud. Tafasta merubalo tafasta. Tafasta muat tafasta. You never can go beyond the minimum chidush. Ask the Gemara, but the minimum chidush could be just a kippah seruga. Obviously, the Kohen obviously wouldn't wear one of these horrible black things. So there was this little tiny kippah that the Kohen Gadol would wear, kippah shel tzemer, and the reason that he would wear it, now this is not to be confused with the hat of the Kohen Gadol, this is a small kippah that was worn underneath the tzitz, because the Torah says to put the tzitz on a p'til tchelet. How could the tzitz be on a p'til tchelet? Obviously there are other approaches, but according to this braita, the Kohen would wear a kippah srugah tchelet, on which you put the tzitz, and above that, you put the mitznefet, and then there was room between the tzitz for the tefillin and the whole business, and the mitznefet went behind. Yeah, the p'til tchelet, yeah.
Is this looks like a headband?
No, according to this man, the Omar, it's a kippah srugah. That's the way that you put that sits on a thread of tchelet. Ah, says the Gemara, but it couldn't mean enough wool for a kippah. Because since it says hu ubanav, it obviously can't be referred to the Kohen Gadol alone. It's referring to him and his children, which are Kohen Gadol and Kohen Adyot. Therefore, it has to be davar hashaveh le'aron levanav. Has to be a beged that you find is similar. Wait a minute, but the avnet isn't similar. Avnet nami lo shavi. I mean, the truth is there's a machloket whether the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot is made out of the whole range of materials of both Semer and Pishtim, and or whether it's just a beged lavan. Now that's machloket. So if you hold like the Mandi Amar who says the avneto shel kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which was only bad, is not the equivalent of a normal avnet of a kohen hedyot, because that was made out of all the different materials, like the kohen gadol on a normal day was. So then, okay, then sharper, then that works out, because then on a normal day, the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot were the same avnet. But if you hold like the Mandi Amar says, the avneto shel kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is the avnet of the kohen hedyot all year round, then that means the normal avnet of a kohen gadol is totally different. So then, Michael Amima, it does. When we say huva nava, it doesn't mean it has to be exactly the same, but it means a beged that they both wear, and they both wear an avnet. What's the difference? This kind of avnet, that kind of avnet. But the point is, it's shame avnet be'olam. There needs to be enough wool, and that's where we get this idea of five slaim. Lo he speak litnolo melak. The question is like this. I mean, we're going to get back to the mission in a moment. First, we want to point out what the implications are of the Mishnah from the following machloket. Somebody has sheep. He's gozes a sheep. Now he sells that sheep. Now he's gozes the next sheep, sells that sheep. By the time he gets to the point of the minimal amount of wool that he has to give, at that point, the question is, he's no longer the Baalim of Tzonecha. So is Tzonecha at the time of the Chiyuv, or is Tzonecha at the time of the Giza? That's the issue.
That's a cool question.
Wait till you see the Raya from our Mishnah, because it's even cooler. So Rav Chista says, you're Chayim. Rabbi Natan Baroshayo, Rabbi Potter. Now, the Machloket is as follows. Rav Chista Amar Chayav. Because the bottom line is, you were Gozei's five tzon that were asuyot. Whereas Rav Natan Baroshaya says, no, you're potter. Because it has to be tzonecha at the time that you're going to give it, and it means at the time that you're chayev on it. So be'idna, at the point to come malai she'ura, when you finally got the chamesh tzon asuyot, it has to be geiz tzonecha. And it isn't tzonecha at that point. Okay? Now, here is the chap of how does our Mishnah address this issue. This is really a beautiful riot. Take a look at our Mishnah. You buy the geiz tzono of an Oved Kochavim. I love this. You buy the shearings of an Oved Kochavim. You're potter from Reshita Geiz. Now, that must mean that if you bought the rights to shear of his son, that you would be chayiv, because otherwise the Mishnah would have said a bigger chiddush. Would have said, even if you did the giza because you bought the rights to be gozeis, you'd still be potter. So obviously you're not potter. You're only potter if the goy actually went and did the shearing, right? So if you bought the rights to giza, you would be chayiv. But what does the rights to giza mean? The rights to giza mean that you own in this animal the right to do a shearing. But the moment you do a shearing, you no longer own anything in this animal. So that means each one, the moment you did the shearing, reverts to the goy. So it's not tzonecha. That means by the time you got, is that gorgeous? So by the time you got five, you don't own five animals. So if you hold it, you have to have it at the shah, that's mole shiura, the Mishnah makes no sense. It's great. It is beautiful. So am I? Kol chad v'chad, by definition, of selling something for a particular right, so then the moment that that right is over, batar giza, nafkalam reshuta, it would now be now no longer yours. And yet the Mishnah is indicating that you'd be chayav because at the time that you did it, it was yours. Aha! So Rav Chista said, okay, this is a great riot to me. However, truth demands that we find an out for Rav Natan Baroshaya, my opponent. So Rav Chista Aliba, the Rav Natan Baroshaya, was Masberet. Look, the poor guy's going to have to explain that the Mishnah is referring, by implication, to a case that is possible. I mean, the case may be, do I have the rights for shearing that I maintain for 30 days, whether I shear or not? So it would have to be that he bought it for 30 days. He cannot Yiknolo kol shloshim yom. So then, that's really, but okay, but I mean, basically, we don't want to allow, the Mishnah can't say if you're okay at the rights, because then it would not be, because it's the akums, you see. It would, then it would depend on the case. The Mishnah couldn't really have made that the Chiddush. That's the point. So it really is a good teretz. I'll leave it at Blatan Baroshah. Okay, we go on to say that if you buy the rights to the gay's son, so then it depends. If the mocher has kept some of it for himself, then it goes according to the mocher. If he sold the whole thing, then it goes to the lokeach chiyuv. Now, that means that what we're saying is, which is really weird, that if the mocher keeps something, then he retains the chiyuv to give the reishit hageiz for the whole thing. So what that means is that apparently when you hold a something back, which is called a shiur, when you hold something back, you are meant in your mind to hold on to the matanot kuna, and that you're taking responsibility for them. Who is that man diomar? Man tana, techadika de shiur agabi mocher, we go for the chiev to look to the mocher to keep the chiev. Who's that man diomar? Omra chista, I'll tell you, it's Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, because we have the same issue, the Mishnah in Pe'ah, we're over there. Is it boiling up for Shabbat? No. We're over there, it says. Somebody sells, now this is very similar to our case, a guy's got a field, a regular field of wheat. Scattered in this field of wheat are some trees. Now, normally, those trees are ultimately going to be removed because they get in the way of the plowing and so on. And therefore, we don't call them ilanot, we call them kalchei ilanot, like sticks, because really the guy wants to get rid of them. And the Rush says, okay, I mean, the norm is, so what you'll do is you'll sell the rights to the tree's production for a year, and you'll sell it to a farmer, and you'll tell him, listen, you take care of these trees until they produce, you take the production, and then you do me the uprooting. So we call that kalcheila. None of that is really important other than to recognize that this is definitely not an orchard. In other words, you can't view it as a guy who owns an orchard, because the guy who owns the field basically owns kalcheila. He owns separate pieces of trees because it's another guy's field in which he has the rights to these trees. So in that case, the buyer of the rights to the trees has to give pe'ah for each tree individually, because none of these trees equal a field of trees that one could potter the other. You can't potter one field with another field, and you can't potter one tree with another tree when it comes to pe'ah. So you have to be notain pe'ah l'kol echad v'echad. And amazingly, Rabbi Yehuda said, but when is this true? It's only true if you didn't keep one of the trees for yourself. But if the owner kept one tree for himself, she'er bala sadeh, he, the owner, gives pe'ah on the entire thing. Now, how could he give on the entire thing?
It's not his.
It's not his. Therefore, it must be, says Rabbi Chista, the Rabbi Yehuda holds, that you retain the rights to yourself of giving the matanot. Therefore, the same thing is true about Reishit HaGeiz. Even though you only kept part of it, we understand that the meaning of that part is the rights to give the matanot of the Reishit HaGeiz. So you want to keep the Reishit HaGeiz.
So it's like control of the interest?
Yeah. Omar Le'rova, wait a minute. I can't believe you're saying that. Man, that's talking about convenience. You were the one who said that the right way to understand Rabbi Yehuda is a completely different issue. Hamar hu diamar, that only where the balasada began to do the ktsira, and therefore, since he began to do the ktsira before he sold the other ones, so then at that point it was considered to be a ktsira, and therefore he could retain his payah on the rest. But had he sold it in advance, there's no way. What do you mean? If he sold the guy the rights, I mean, then it's the other guy's. And don't try to tell me, well, that's what I mean over here, too. It's talking about that first you started doing the giza, And then you sold the others. No, it won't help you. V'chitem, you're going to try to tell me that Hachanami V'hushi Tchil Igzozer over here also it's talking about that he began the Giza. What difference would it make? You see, when it comes to Peah, where the Torah says, Ubekutzrechem, what do you mean, Ubekutzrechem? You know what that means? It means like, Bereshit, Bekutzrechem, in the process of this happening. Ah, so then if that's the case, Bekutzrechem would mean it doesn't have to be finished. It begins right away. This is all part of the Peah. Okay, so Bekutzrechem means Mi'idna da'atchil iktsira. The moment you begin the Ktsira, we view this as the beginning of the Chiyav of Peah for the entire Sada. So then you could say that that becomes a definitive moment in which if it was yours at that point, you never gave away the right, so to speak, to give the Peah when you sold it. But when it comes to Reishit HaGez, it wouldn't make any difference. There's no Chiyav of Reishit HaGez as you begin to do the Reishit. It's only at the moment that you have the Reishit. So Hacha Be'idah Da'atchel Amigzas Lo Mechayev Bekulei Adre. There's no way that we could say that you are Mechayev in the entire Eder, the entire flock. It doesn't say Begizaschem. It talks about Reishit Geiz Tzonecha. And therefore, this wouldn't help you, Rav Chisda. So what is Rav Yehuda, according to you yourself, what does Rav Yehuda have to do with our Mishnah? Nothing. Therefore, I say it's a whole different idea. Hai Tanahu, it's not. It's a completely different concept we had before in the Mishnah. Omar lo, b'choli b'nei mea shaparazu. You go to a butcher, you say, okay, I want to buy the internal organs, right? And it turns out, obviously, the internal organs include a keva. So what's the din over there? If the matanot are there, so then the buyer gives them to the Kohen, and the seller does not deduct anything from the total price, because he bought in bulk, and everybody understood that obviously he wasn't going to sell him the matanot kuna. So that remained, whatever it was, you have it, you go and you give it to the Kohen. If he buys it by weight, you recall, obviously I can't charge you for the weight of the keva that is a mind to sell you anyway. It was being given to the Kohen. So then he has to deduct the price of that pound, whatever it was, of the keva. Minakelo minadami. But what do you see from there? You see from there that when a guy was selling, obviously he's not selling the matnot kuna, right? He doesn't mean to sell them. And therefore, it was clear, oh, I wasn't selling you that. I'll give you back the money because we weighed something that wasn't mine and was not my intention to steal and to sell it to you. So the halacha over there is that we say by the Kohen that the dinimat tabach and that it's his and so on. So the same thing is true over here. If I'm going to sell you, I'm not selling you the matanot of the Kohen. On the contrary, I want to keep that mitzvah. So that he's not selling. Therefore, we assume, shi'er ha-mocher, if the seller sells, obviously, look, if he told a beferush, I want you to know that I have no intention of keeping this mitzvah for you. Now, this is your business.
Who says to whom?
The seller tells the buyer. You know, don't think I'm going to take care of the Reishit HaGez. You take care of the Reishit HaGez. I'm just keeping a proportion of the Gez. Then obviously we're not going to assume this. But like this, it's an assumption. That if a guy sells stam, he wants not to violate the matnot kuna. On the contrary, he wants to make certain that he has a schus for the matnot kuna. That's the point. So if that's the case, when he's not selling the matnot kuna, lo mazvininish, he'll cook shi'er ha-mocher. So if he leaves something behind, then the assumption is that the mocher is chayev. The amar lelokeach, because the lokeach says, look, I mean, that's what was left by you, your rights to give the matnot kudan kabachi. But if he didn't leave anything for himself, then the lokeach would be chayev. The amar lemocher, matanat kohen lo zavni lecha. In that case, the mocher would say, look, I didn't sell it to you. I left it to you. I didn't steal it, and now you don't have to worry about it. You got to worry about it. You go and take care of it. I certainly didn't mean to steal it from you. And it's called the Gezchonecha, like everything else, and it's yours. Hadron alak reshit hagez. Shiluach hakein. Now, what's really remarkable is the way that people are mocked to an insane degree on Shiluach hakein, where it's almost 100% clear that there is no such mitzvah of running over to a bird and for no particular reason driving the mother insane, ruining the family. Teaching you to have rachamim on birds. Rabbi, people actually believe that this is the mitzvah because of the Chavos Yoyer who discovered this idea, which we'll discuss. Where, I mean, it almost verges on insanity. But this mitzvah, everybody's makbid on, you understand? I found a bird, come quickly. It's beyond belief. But on things that are clearly 100% a chiyuv, which we just finished, the reishis hagez, the zroah, the chayayim v'keva, there they'll find some way, some reason, which nobody knows what the heter is. There's no heter not to give the matanis. There's no heter. Even a chutzlaretz, because as we said before, we're paskin that it is for chutzlaretz, the zroma. But lamaisa, people aren't makbid. That's the bottom line. So the shulchan, I've said normal people who are not yireim, they don't even care. They don't think about it. So this mitzvah nobody cares about. And the excuses that have been listed, why don't we do the mitzvah? I mean, you can't imagine the amazing excuses that have come up. One excuse is, how can we do the mitzvah? We don't know who a kohen is. Maybe the kohen isn't a kosher kohen. You understand? For Pidyon HaBen, they suddenly find the kohen. That's great. So then they make a big ceremony and inviting everybody. But for the kiyum of the matanis, no, I don't know who a kohen is. It's absolutely amazing. That's one, by the way, I mean, that the Chazon Ish went out, it's very stark, that the din of the Chazok of Kahuna is 100% a Chazok like any other Chazok. I mean, of course you have to assume he's a Kohen. The person comes from a Chazok of a normal family with humans. Why would you be able to say he's not a Kohen? So, Bechlala doesn't, as a matter of fact, there's a story of Gedalim that at a Pidyon HaBen, of a grandchild, they would bedavka give the Zrael of Chayayim v'keva at the time that they gave the Pidyon HaBen, so everybody should see. You want to do this? You better do this too. Wow. It's beautiful. So very, very strange. And what's even more special is we are sitting in the room of the Rav of Yerushalayim, right, of Salant. He made a takana. And this takana was, it's as bad as the current tax system of the Israeli government. We estimate how many animals you shecht. Okay? And then we keep a record and pay the Kohanim for the Zroel of Chayayim Vekeva out of your money. The Zroel of Chayayim Vekeva of every animal that you shechted that you stole the Zroel of Chayayim Vekeva from. Whatever it was. So that way you were sure that they would take the Zroel of Chayayim Vekeva.
The
Shlosha? Uh-huh. Yeah, right here in this room.
But it fell out of
practice? Listen, even the Shulchan Aruch says, the minhag, he's talking a chutzlaret. The minhag is not to give a chutzlaret. He doesn't mean it's a kosher minhag. He doesn't mean you can rely on this minhag. He says that's the way it is. He doesn't know why. Nobody's figured out why we would go against the Gemara. So it's very, very strange, the kind of things that people are Zayaran. Like I think they're not Zayaran. So here we come to Shiluach HaKein. Now, Shiluach HaKein, again, the Pashtus, as any simple reader would understand, is that what it means is...
Is that reading it simply, or he is of simple mind?
It means simple the way Yaakov Avinu was simple. Okay. The straightforward reader comes the same way the Torah says, Vizavarta, V'achalta. It doesn't mean you see an animal, grab a shechita knife and cut off his head. It means if you want to eat meat, so then this is how to eat meat. So too he sees some eggs that he wants, or he sees a child that he wants of a bird. The mother is there. Don't be mitzayer the mother, and take the child, right? So at that point, there's a mitzvah of shaleach teshalach ataim v'etabanim tikachlach. Okay, so that's the pashtus of the mitzvah. Again, we'll see where in the world the Chafetz Yoreh gets the idea that everybody now believes that you're supposed to run and chase birds and Nebuch destroy their families, you know, in order to teach you rachamim. It's beyond belief. The truth is, however, I must say, in his defense, there is a Zohar that, and there's remuzim to this another Midrashim Agav, not directly about Shiloh HaKain, that one of the inyanim of Shiloh HaKain is that a mother of the bird, because she's Avela on her children, is Ba'era, the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come, that the Shechina should be Matzeles, the Bonim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, you could justify it as a Hisairus of Rachamim, etc. But it certainly violates all of the Shitas, the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Chinuch, that talk about how the Torah is there in order to teach us to be sensitive to the emotions of animals, and therefore to learn that sensitivity, which is a humane sensitivity, to remain humane and not frum. And because of that, I mean, the pashtus is obviously that you'll notice that frumkeit destroys your midos.
Generally. Destroys your
midos. Mm-hmm. So that the point over here is that it's really not meant to be anything but an activity that teaches you more humanity, not less humanity. According to all of those pshatim, the Rambam speaks of this at length about when he has a whole discussion about the way in which the Torah wants to teach us to take animal emotions very seriously. Because of that, and that doesn't have anything to do with rachamim on the animals, he says, obviously, as the Gemara says. Because if it did, then why would we be allowed to kill animals to eat? But it has to do with our sensitivity to what an animal is feeling. That's a whole different issue. So therefore, we have one of those mitzvahs, Shiloh HaKein. Okay.
Why not just say it's found in the wild and people are walking along and they see this bird in its nest and you just, you know, you want to drive it away.
Why would you want to drive away a bird in its
nest? Sensitivity to the bird.
Oh, sensitivity to make it miserable, drive it away.
Well, you're going to eat it anyway.
So no, if you're, that's not, no, wrong. You're not going to eat it. You have no intention not of eating it, not of eating the egg. So why the heck are you driving away the mother?
When it was first given, it was like that.
Oh, so now it changed.
Changed.
Oh, please. So therefore, when it comes to Shechita, you should go chase animals to murder them, because it says v'zavakta. It used to be only when you wanted to eat the animal, but if you're a vegetarian, you should stop kill animals. What's the sense in it? We'd have to find some sense, right? Okay, but in any event, it's just very strange. The mitzvahs that people are ready to, you know, be meiser nefesh for, and the ones that they know they're chayiv, that already, that's not going to be. No, we spoke about it. You have a whole siyum on that, remember? It's coming up again. Well, there it was. Shiluach HaKein, Noeg Ba'aretz, Bechutz La'aretz. So, once again, we go through our formula. You'll notice that we've had the same formula for all of the chiyuvim that we started on from Giran Asher. We've spoken about chutz laretz, oretz, chutz laretz, b'fnei abayit, shelo b'fnei abayit, chulin, mukdash, the whole business. The year two, now, finally the Gemara is going to go through now all of them to see whether there's a chiddush in any of this. Because we never really satisfactorily addressed that issue. So Shiloh HaKein is knowing in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, whether the Beit HaMikdash is Kayam, B'fnei HaBayit, Shiloh B'fnei HaBayit, B'chulin, Avalo B'mukdashim, it's not knowing B'mukdashim, we'll see what that would mean even. How could you have Mukdashim that are supposed to be Yimatz, that are not Yimatzei, and I mean, this doesn't make any sense, we'll see. Now, Chomer B'kisui Adam B'shiloh HaKein. Again, we do the same thing we do, to compare the different cases. And by doing so, we make it very clear where there's a chiyuv. So Kisui Adam, even though it's very limited, but it contains all of the Ofot and also the Chayot. Not only that, it would include Mizuman, things that are in your barn, and She'ino Mizuman. But Shiluach HaKein is only, first of all, it's only on birds. You don't send away the mother bird of a deer, in case you find one of those. And it's not Noheg unless it's not Mizuman, unless it's not there waiting for you. Now, what do I mean by that? Ezer She'ino Mizuman. Well, even, let's say if you have some pigeons and you have some of your own chickens, but they escaped, you know, and now they've set up shop out in the orchard. Now you can't catch them. You try to get them, they'll run away from you. That's called Eino Mizuman anymore. But if they set up shop in the house, then you can catch them. So then that's called Mizuman. For that matter, if you got these homing pigeons, Yone Hadasiyot, later on the Gemara is going to explain what is Hadar Siyot, they are potter because they keep coming back to you. And therefore it is Mizuman. So they're your potter on Shiluach HaKein. You can take the eggs right out from the coop, right out from the dovo, the cot.
Don't have to send them the way they fly out on their own. They just come back. Or they've been sent.
You better send them away, or you're going to lose out on this whole business of Laman Yarich.
So even again.
No, you don't. You don't. Okay. Now, if it's an Oth Tamei, then you're potter from Shiluach HaKein. But how about if an Oth Tamei has decided to incubate the birds, the eggs of an Oth Tahor, and it's sitting there on those nests, keeping it warm? It's a surrogate. It's Horton. Here's a, exactly. What's the din over there? Do you have to chase Horton away?
Was it a bird? What was Horton?
No.
It was an elephant.
Well, we were talking about a chayah before. So it's a surrogate mother, you know. So if it's roveitz al beitzeh of tahar, or vice versa, you could have a tahar roveitz al beitzeh of tamei. In either case, your partner, we'll see where we see that in the pasuk. Your partner min shalayach. A kore zakar. Now Rashi, there's a wrong gear, so Rashi here that says an of tamei, which is ridiculous, because in fact, Rashi and the Rif is not that way, and it's a mitaken the Rashi. It's an oaf tahor. And however, it is the type of oaf where the male does the incubating. So over there, Rabbi Eliezer is mechayev, because this, for all intents and purposes, is the mother. The mother doesn't mean the female. The mother means the incubator. And according to the Chachamim, it's potter. We'll see in the Gemara the details of that machloket. So Rabbi Avin v'Rabbi Maisha, they argue. We don't know who said what, but we do know that one said that wherever we find in a Mishnah, Charamar Kol Eichad, it's not throughout these Mishnayot over here in Chulin, where every single one of the cases mentioned Ba'aretz or B'chutz La'aretz. Well, the truth is not one of those Mishnahs are a Chiddush. It's all Shelo Levar Letzorech. Because obviously, why wouldn't it be? I mean, what is this? It's not a mitzvah tuluyah ba'aretz. Why would I think that you're part of the Chutzor? But I need a Mishnah to tell me you're Chayev in Tefillin ba'aretz of a Chutzlaretz. So same thing, what do I need it for? It's only the case of Reishi Tagez. By Reishi Tagez, because we had Rabbi Loi, who was Makish Reishi Tagez to Reishi Tagancha, and of Truma, so according to him, there's a Chiddush. So therefore, we said it in the other cases also. And the truth is, the Matanot were also because of the same thing, so, because they're compared to Reishi Tagez, so we're viewing this as one Mishnah. Okay, that makes sense. And the other one said, there's another thing that could only be justified by one case out of all of these beginning of the Parakim, and that was the Kolecha Ditzam B'fnei Abayit V'Shalo B'fnei Abayit, making something dependent on the Beit HaMikdash, that was all Shalo Letzorech, except for the case of Oto Ved Bino. Because why? Sa'al Kadaita Chamina. As we said, Oto Ved Bino appears in the middle of the Sugya of Kachim. It's referring to various dinim of Kachim, and this is Oto Ved Bino, which we think is a dinim of Chusar Zman for Hegdash. and not that it's a normal halakha. So therefore, Sagtakam, you know, being under the kachim ketiv is mandi ika kachim. So therefore, at least, even though we know it's noig bechulin, but it should be only bizman de ika kachim, but bizman de leka kachim, we don't have any kachim, maybe there's no dinavoto bet, but no, kamashmalam. And both of them together said, tarvayu amri, that the part about chulin umugdashim, that in every case was necessary, except for gidanasha, because by gidanasha, obviously, the gidanasha came first. So just because a guy was makdish a behema, would you think that poka iser gidan nashavine? Would you think that we would therefore suddenly pop off the chiyuv of gidan nashe? Wait a minute. That's what you asked in the beginning of gidan nashe. And because of that question, you said there's no chiddush in gidan nashe. You came up with the idea that the Mishnah must be talking about Bivladot Kadashim, where the Giranasha actually didn't come first, right? Didn't you say Bivladot Kadashim? Yeah, but I was naive in those days, because I hadn't seen the rest of the Masechta. Now that I saw the rest of the Masechta, all of these Mishnayot are Shelo Letzorech. You only need to find one that's Letzorech, right? So what do I need to make of a case of Giranasha? I'm much smarter now, older and wiser. So now, okay, what was the reason? My time will keep. What was the reason we said Vladot Kadashim? Because we said, why bother teaching me that? Labishum the Kashalon Lodli. No, but that was not a Kasha. Now we know it was not a Kasha. Because now we see that all of these Mishnayot include things that are listed Shalolet Sarah. And they're justified because of the other ones that are Litzorah. So you shouldn't have had that question in the first place. Lo tikshelecha, because I did a Tana Litzorah. The ones that were written Litzorah also therefore justified Taninami Shalol Litzorah. Shiloach hakeinoig baratz v'chutzorah b'fnei abayit v'shalol b'fnei abayit v'chulina v'lo b'mukdashim. Chomer b'kisei adam b'shiloach hakein. Shikisei adam noig b'chaya ova'of b'mezuman u'b'she'eno mezuman. B'shiluach ha'kein eino noig ela ba'of eino noig ela b'she'eno mezuman. Ezeo she'eno mezuman, kegon avazim v'tanagolim shkinenu v'pardes, aval im kinenu v'bayit v'chinyonei hardesiyot, poter m'shiluach. Ov tamei patur b'lishalech. Ov tamei rovetz al beitze ov tahor. Tahor rovetz al beitze ov tamei. Potur min ha-shaleach, korei zachar, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev, v'chachamim potrim. Rebobim v'reb Maisha, chad amar kol eichat etznan, v'ratis besechta, v'oretz v'chutz v'oretz, was always shalol letzorech, except for one case, reishit hagez, lafukin Rabbi Loi, who held that because we compare it to reishit, by truma, that reishit hagez is eino noeg ela ba'oretz. The other man, the Omer said, kol eichat etznan b'fnei habayit, v'shalol b'fnei habayit, v'shalol letzorech, except for Otov et Beno, and what was the chiddush over there? That Sarkat Aitramina Ho Binyan de Kachim Ktiv, Bisman de Ika Kachim Ninog, Bisman de Leka Kachim Loninog, Kamash Malan. And both of them, both Rabobin and Ramaisha agreed that, well, they didn't argue on the other one, but they both said together that Kalecha the Tan Bechulin Bum of Dashim is the Tzarech except for the one case of Gidan Nasha. Because obviously, but just because you made it Kodesh, you should take off the Isagid on Nashemine. Wait a minute. La Bukinma Bavladot Kachim? Yeah. But what was the reason that Bukinma? Because we were worried. Bishum de Kashalon. Why bother saying it? Lo Litne. But me, Karanami Lo Tikshalacha. There was no question. Because I did it on the Litzarach. Tananami Shalom Litzarach. Like we said on every other issue. Bukhulin Avalom and Mugdashim. Amailo. Yomakar Shalayat Shalachata. Aim. Mikir Pecha. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, we're holding on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. And we're up to the seventh line. The last word on the sixth line. So that we're talking about now the shear in the Mishnah. It's a little bit confusing because it says in it says that he has to give him the amount of tzemer meluban, and then afterwards the Mishnah says, and if he was malavnayapa, pikein, the Yisrael wasn't kainayet. So we just want to make very clear. And the Bryce said, Tana Loshi love Nenu Yitnenolo. Sometimes when we're saying the Miluban, Balotsoi, it doesn't mean that he has the Chiyav to be Malavin. It simply means that he should estimate. He loved the Yavnenu Akohin. V'yamod al Chamei Shleim, he should estimate how much he should give him, that it should turn out to be a Matana that will end up to be Chamei Shleim of Tzemer Miluban Balotsoi. But it's certainly not his responsibility. Then it should be clean. You just figure, okay, it's another 5% weight of dirt and so on. Kedei la'asot beged katan. Where do we get the idea that there is this shear and this particular beged katan? What is the meaning of a beged katan? The truth is, we spoke about this before in a different context. Minani mili omra b'yoshua ben Levi omar kro la'amod l'sharet. Since over here, right after this list of the Matanis and the Truman Rishis, okay, he says, Kivova chara Hashem ikoshifatecha la'amod l'sharet. So we understand that we should aim the gift on a dorva shuhu ro'i l'sheirut, something that is useful to do sheirut with. And what would be the shiur, the smallest shiur that would be ro'i l'sheirut, from which we derive chomish salayim? That would be the Avnet, because after all, the Avnet wasn't even made entirely out of tzemer. It was partially tzemer and partially pishkin. So if you, even though it's a very small amount, Chamesh Shleim is a small amount of wool, but it's sufficient for the wool component of the Avnet.
I know this very long, even though it was narrow.
Yeah, but it's still not, it's still the smallest beggar that we have. It's a small, that's what today is. Later we'll ask. We'll find something even smaller, maybe a yarmulke or something. Ema me'il. I mean, selam od sharet. Maybe you have to give him enough which should be able to make the me'il, which is a very, very big cleat. No, because tafastam rubalot tafastam muat tafastam. I mean, always the rule is we have to apply Occam's razor. In other words, whatever has to be assumed, you assume. Anything more than that, I can ask you why you assume it. So therefore, over here, if you tell me the me'il, I'll say, who says it's the me'il? Maybe it's the avnet. If I tell you avnet, you can't tell me maybe it's not avnet. You can say maybe it's also the me'il. No good, yeah, so prove it's the me'il. But you're also going to agree it's the avnet. Fine, so then we're stuck with the avnet.
First of all, with chumra and kula. If you have a chumra and kula, you have to take the chumra. Here we have to say take the smallest of that.
Right. That could be either the kula or the chumra, the fast and the rule. In whatever direction. It's just however Occam's razor applies. And what the pasuk means. Whatever the pasuk says. What does the word mean? Prove to me what it means. This is the maximum that you can prove. Anything else is conjecture.
No, that's
no. You wouldn't do it because it's not. If you have two, you have a rule. You have two things that you could compare it to. So then you have a rule that the chumra makshima. But to say stam that a shear is meant or is everything. So how about maybe it means a yarmulke? Maybe a kippa shel tzemer. Where was a kippa shel tzemer? At the time a kippa shel tzemer hayta munachat berosh kohen gadol ve'aleha tzitz natun mekayem ma shenemar v'santa oto aftil techelet. So here, I mean, even though Mikra, the Rama doesn't really bring this bichlal, kippa shel tzemer.
There's an interesting tshuva from Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, who's asked why does Rambam leave out the Kippah Shel Tzemer? So he tells that because Meikar Hadin, if you learned that there's a beggar, it would be an extra beggar. So it would be Mekalko. Therefore, the Rambam understands that the meaning of the Gemara is only the Kippah Shel Tzemer was a mode of maintaining the Psil Tzelah Solosh. In other words, it's bottle to the tzitz, which is supposed to be out Psil Tzelah. So Mamela, it's a way of being Mekayim Psil Tzelah. I mean, but it's not Meikar Hadin. You can be Mekayim Psil Tzelah, so you know, the way Rashi learns, with the you know, the Hebrew.
So it wouldn't be a beggar.
Ain't nothing on it. It doesn't have to. It's, on the contrary, it's specifically not meant to be a beggar, but yeah, so that's what he points out.
Right. So how do we use it to...
Because it doesn't say anywhere beggar. It says, give him something, Lamod L'Sharet. So this is sufficient, Lamod L'Sharet. So why not, maybe he's the keeper. Because Amra Kra Hu Uvanav, the Torah specifically points out that it's the meaning of Bo Bachar Hashem Mikol Shvatecha is not only Bo in terms of Aaron, but it's Hu Uvanav Kol Hayamim. That's Banav needs to be something that would have application to Banav in the Psil Tcheles. Where is there Psil Tcheles B'Nagia Banav? Well, it's got to be the Avnet. The Avnet Nami Moshavi. I mean, how are you going to say the Avnet? I mean, the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot Memitz Machlokas could be that the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot is Kulay Pishkin, in which case there's no Tzemer at all. And the only Tzemer that you could be talking about for the Shir of Lamed L'Shores as a Shir of an Avnet would only be Nagei Kohen Gadol, not on Yom Kippur, of course, whereas his Avnet was also made out of votes. But the normal Avnet of a Kohen Gadol. So Hengich Alaman Diomer Avnet Osho Kohen Gadol Lo Zeh Avnet Osho Kohen Hedyot. If you're going to tell me, according to the Man Diomer, that says that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, that sugi is a sugya in Yuma. And what it's referring to over there is the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, not the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol every day. You know, the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was Shavuots, as it was Big Day Lava. But, so when it says over here, the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not the equivalent of the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot. So then that would mean that the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet is not made out of pure boats. It's made out of Kilayim. It's made out of Kilayim, then we can have a shiur of an Avnet as a Beged Katan that you can use for Reishis Hagez, which is Tzemer. So it has application Hu Uvanav. But if you're going to tell me that Laman Diomar Avnet Osho Kohen Gadol Zeu Avnet Osho Kohen Hedyot, that indeed the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which was Kulay Botz and had no Tzemer in it, is the standard Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot. So then where's the Hu Uvanav? They don't wear any Tzemer in their Avnet. What's the chance to say? I'll choose a Beged Lamod V'Sharet Hu Uvanav, except that it's only the Kohen Gadol from Hu Uvanav. That doesn't make any sense. So how could I choose the Avnet? Answers the Gemara, because Shem Avnet Ba'olam, that the point isn't that the Tzemer per se has to be given Hu Uvanav. There's an Indian of Lamed L'Sharis Hu Uvanav. That's the point. So Hu Uvanav are Amdim V'Misharis. What are the Amdim V'Misharis? They mean Avnetim. Fine. So if there's a need for Tzemer, for an Avnet, where is there such a need? According to this Mad Yomar, only to a Kohen Gadol? That's fine. So it's only to a Kohen Gadol. But the Shem Avnet is certainly called, doesn't say to give it for the Lamed L'Sharis. It's identified Lamed L'Sharis. Mashenkin, the Kippah of the Kohen Gadol is Bechlal not Shayach. The concept of a Beged called a Kippah, that would be Nagea the Bani. Then the Mishnah continues to say, Lo, ye speak, Litnolo, Achetzav, oh, and so on. It continues on to talk about what the din is of a Mocher. And that's what's important to us. The Mocher, it says, if the Mocher was Mishayer, something for himself, then this is, then he has to pay and so on. Now, the Shaila is, how do we, I mean, we have to, the reason the Gemara is going into this is because there's something strange about the whole situation over here. We talk in the Mishnah about cases of Bechira. So, first of all,
if I suppose I do Giza, and then I sell the tzon, right? And then I do another Giza and I sell the tzon. By the time I complete my Giza, I don't own the tzon. So is it a din in the act of Giza, or is it a din in the results of the Giza? Because, I mean, the Mishnah has raised the question of somebody who sells his... Tell him to call back later in the Mishnah. Left at his phone. He turned it off. So, does this every time? Every time he calls the Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara wants to know, Ijma, Gazazu Machar Rishona. Suppose he's good. And then he tells, he keeps doing this, until he gets to the Shear. Reb Chista Amar Chayev, Reb Nosson Marisha Merpot. Reb Chista Amar Chayev, Al Gazaz. Reb Chista says, look, was he Gozer's his son? Yes. Did he complete the act of Giza of the Shear that requires him to give the Reish HaGez? Yes. Vasaf Kaminev, when he gets the Shear, whether he has now a Shear of Reish HaGez, that's Mitzaynei. It's unimportant. Reb Chista says, look, you did the act of Giza on your tzon, and that's all that's important to us. Reb Nosson Barosha says, look, you're not chayev unless at the moment that you become chayev with the shiur, you have a tzon, which is your tzon. But if there is no shi'ura that's b'chayev you, the din of reishis ha'geiz, so how can I talk about, I at the time did giza on my tzon? That was a giza that was potter. Wasn't yet chayev in reishis ha'geiz.
He sold all the tzon, except
one by one. No, he sold each one after he finishes the giza.
He had one left.
Maybe, yeah, maybe no. I mean, he did, Lamaisa, have one left, but... I don't know why that's important, because if it, you mean according to Chris, it's not important. According to him, it was important. I mean, it will be spotter anyway. I mean, that's the finish, even though.
He sold him before he was Gozer's
son. No. He was Gozer his son. After he passed down a pile of wool, he sold the sheep. One at a time. So there was never a moment in which he owned the Giza and the sheep that were required for the shear of Giza. So now we have a brilliant raya, really such a geschmack of raya, about what the halacha should be. It says here, Tnan, halokeh geiz tzono shel oved kochotin, potter mereishis hageiz. Somebody now buys the rights to the giza of the tzon, so there he's potter. Okay. Suppose he would have bought the right to own the tzon as insofar as the giza. But that's a technical distinction. I buy the rights in your tzon for giza. Not I buy the giza. I buy your tzon to be gozeis, right? If I buy your tzon to be gozeis, then I have a schus in the etzem tzon. The minute that I complete the giza, the tzon reverts to you because I no longer have that right. Now the mashma'ut is that the only reason that you're potter is because you bought the shearings. But suppose you would have bought the sheep in order to shear, you had that right, then what would be the din? You would be chayev. Why? Since by definition that type of kinyan, the tzon reverts to the owner who's the goy instantly as soon as it's finished. So by the time he's finished shearing, he no longer has the shiur that is mechayev and reishis hageiz. So now it's a raya that you don't need that, and that you're chayev, even though you do them one by one. Shamai, kol chad v'chad boser giza nafkalam rishutei. The moment that you complete the giza, it's no longer your tzon. So this seems to be 100% a raya to Reb Chista. It says that you're chayev. It's mamish from our Mishnah. Brilliant, huh? Says Reb Chista. Reb Chista tries to figure, okay, let's be generous. I mean, you smash him, but at least give him a little bit of opening. It's not a fatal blow after all. You could always tie it. Because, look, I mean, the point, obviously, the point of the Mishnah is not to address specifically this issue. The point of the Mishnah is to address the concept of ownership for Giza. So suppose you would make a condition that the ownership for Giza expires in 30 days. And you have 30 days to do your Giza, and until then the son don't reverse me. Okay, so fine. I mean, it would still be the same condition of Mishnah. And Lamaisha would not be addressing our issues. So you can't force the issue. You can't absolutely prove that Rav Nosson Bar Oshi is wrong, even though, I mean, it seems a little dachuk to say it, but because it's not the main purpose of the Mishnah. You can do whatever you want to define the circumstances that allow the case to come about. you got to buy it back. It doesn't become bottle. It's only the way they create the star that they buy it that you know that it's going to be bought back. It's not bottle. You don't sell them the chometz for 7 days. Sell them the chometz completely. No. If he doesn't pay, it's something else. But those are dangerous to know. Because then it's bottle of mafreyas. Anyway, that's already a long issue. Halokeach geis tzono shachavilo. Man tana dehechad iki shiura gabi mocher baser mocher aslin. The Mishnah says something that's a little bit strange. It says, I'm selling sheep to somebody, and I'm selling the giza of the sheep. If I'm shir la'asmi, I have to pay. If I wasn't shir la'asmi, then he has to pay. That's what it says. Now, l'chora, there it says, the first part, which we just discussed, was geis tzono shel akuv. But how about l'chora geis tzono shel chavero? So now, over there, it depends on whether I was mishayir. I was not mishayir to myself. The question is, why would that be? We're saying over here, be'etzem, I should be potter. Because, I mean, what are we doing? If you're selling me the rights to the giza, so then, I mean, we have the tzon belongs to one person, the giza belongs to another person. I mean, then we don't have a chiyuv b'chlal. So what exactly is the reason that if I sell, that I remain chayiv, and the buyer is potter, but if I wasn't Mishayer, the lokeach is chayiv, even though it wasn't his tzon. How exactly does that work? So it seems to be saying over here, so who that's why we're asking, who is this Tana? That where there is a Shiura Gabi Meicher, that the assumption is that we go to the Mocha to pay that Shiur. Well, says Rav Chista, before it's Rav Yehuda, because we have a similar case, the Gabi Peya. Case over there was, a guy has a field, which is a Tfuah field. And he has two or three trees growing in this field. Lamaisa, you cannot call this a Sedei Ilan, obviously. It's entirely a state Tfuah. Normally, if he leaves Peya from his state Tfuah, he is Yotze any Chiyiv of Peya. He doesn't have to give a separate Peya for the Ilanas, which don't have a Shame Sada on them. But suppose somebody buys the actual rights to the Ilanot. So you buy the Kalchei Ilan. The Kalchei Ilan is the actual Guf HaIlan. So then you, as the buyer, have to view each one of these Ilanos as a separate field, because the field is not a gear you at all. And therefore, Noten Peya L'Kol Echad V'Echad. Fine, so it makes perfectly good sense. Comes on Rabbi Yehuda and says, well, not necessarily. Ematai, when would we say that the buyer is responsible? Bizman shalor shi'er ba'ala sadeh. Alvar shi'er ba'ala sadeh. Notein pe'al akol. This is only if the owner of the sadeh didn't keep one of these trees for himself. But if he himself kept one of these trees, so then in Akinami, he gives pay from his field. The payer from his field potters the trees. So of course, you see the same thing over here. Even though he sells the giza, since he maintains some of that giza for himself, so he's mechuyev to give now the matana to the kohen. Come on, what are you comparison? I mean, you yourself said, well, Maru di Omar, on that mission you explained, the only reason that that's true is because since it says bikutz rechem, We understand that to mean that if you began the Ketzira, at the moment that you began the Ketzira, the field was chal on you. So once it's chal on you, so the pay is defined by what you're going to leave from this soda as a whole. So therefore, it makes sense over there, because Bishleim Ha'asam Ba'Peya, where the Chiyav comes from, Uvkutzrchem is Ketzira Tzachem Ksiv, which tells us, Bekutzrchem, I mean, obviously Bekutzrchem is Ketzira Tzachem, I mean, just tell me, Lo Tzachaber Pa'atzadech, what are you telling me? And when you go to Bekutzir, if I don't go to Bekutzir, my funeral, what do you mean? So Ella the Pshat, the third is coming to tell me, Mi'idna the Absolik Tzor, Mechai Bekutzrchem, that the din of Peah is not a chalos at the end of the Ketzira. The moment I start my Ketzira, I have to now define for myself, what am I going to be Ketzir? Where am I leaving Peah? So at that moment, the Baal HaSada was Chayev, and he'll leave. He'll leave his Tzvua. And that'll pass it all thing. But over here, what are you going to tell me? That what? That the Giza comes. I started now being Geza. So now I'm Chayev to give Reshita Geza? What are you telling me? I give Reshita Geza when there's enough Giza. We're hiding Reshita Geza. As a matter of fact, that was even the drush that we had. The Chamesh Sonar Suyor, Shema Asotet Balayan, and until that point, we don't have any Chiyav Rishis HaGezer. So what are you telling me then over here? So, Achav Yidna, the Atzal Amigas, Lo Mechayev, Bekula Yadre. Here at the point that he begins doing his Giza. Does it say, because it's Chem, it's on Chem, it's the Rishis HaGezer Sonacha. So where's the Sonacha? Therefore, you don't have any basis to compare this to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have said it Shita in a case where there was no chalos chiyav on the seller, and over here there was no chalos chiyav on the seller. So I don't understand how you could possibly talk about a case where somebody sells the Giza, and now you're going to say, even though he sells the Giza, he's hired to give the Giza. I don't understand that. How does it work? Elam Arava, therefore, says Rava, we have to be creative with this. And you know what? I think it goes back to the sugi of the matones. Because if you consider the case that we had over there of the sale of the matones by the butcher. So the truth is, it's true, Rava is saying. I can't really prove this. But it's not 100% a persuasive comparison. But nonetheless, it appears to me that the yisayid of the din is as follows. We said it previously, the Gabi in the Israel Chayayim the Kiva, Nitznan, Amar lo mechorli b'nei me'er shel parazo, v'haya ve'en matanot, notznan la'kohen, ve'en minakelo min adamim. So it says over there, if he didn't weigh them out, so he can't point to having charged for the matanes, he sells the matanes to this guy, this guy has to give them to the Kohen, and he doesn't reduce the price for it. But he says to the buyer, what do you mean? I never charged you for the matanis. I mean, that was a given. The matanis, of course, belong to the Kohen. I mean, if you took them, you took them to give to the Kohen. It wasn't part of our transaction. So what do you see from there was a part of a transaction? That a person does not sell is assumed. But what he's doing is he has no intention to sell that which would have been going to the Kohen. That's Chas v'Shalom. Why would I do that? So therefore, unless he specifies otherwise, the application to our case would be that, look, theoretically I understand that what I could do is I could arrange this in such a way that the gaze would belong to one person, the tzon would have belonged to another person, and it wouldn't be gaze tzonecha. But that a person doesn't do. It's not the norm of behavior. You don't try to pot of your things. Once there's an Indian that the Kohen has something in it, you're not interested in taking something away from the Kohen. Okay, so therefore, if he leaves something by himself, we have to assume that, of course, he didn't need to sell the Kohen stuff. Over there, we could say, what do you mean he didn't need to sell it? It's in the other guy's rishus. He took the matonis, but the gaze can't identify it. Fine, so that's the point. But I didn't need to sell it. It's the coins. It wasn't a mush from matonis kuna. Give it to the coin, of course. So therefore, if over here he would have meant that he does mean to sell it, he would have had to specify. Oh, by the way, I'm selling you this gaze, you know. I mean, I don't know what you want to do about it, but just between the two of us, I'm selling the matonis kuna. No, that he didn't do. So therefore, we have to assume that the matnes kuna were left by him. Therefore, the buyer can tell the seller, what are you coming to me? The Kohen wants me to pay the extra gage. And I assumed, obviously, you were going to handle the extra gage. You never wanted to sell the matnes kuna. The later case, Lekach Mimeno B'Mishkal, notes non la Kohen, U'Menakelo Min Adamin. So obviously, why was he Menakelo Min Adamin? Because, I'm sorry, I certainly didn't mean to charge you for the Matnas Kuna. Okay, so therefore, you see, Alma Matnot Kuna, Lo Mazmin Inish. Person does not have an intent to sell the Matones of the Kuna. Therefore, in this Mishnah, I would assume it's the same thing.
Hachanami.
What? Because it's not what's done. It's simply not what's done. That's the point. In other words, we're talking about a lo mezavne, is that it's not. It isn't meant. The same thing is true. Tosis points out this latter piece. I mean, it's from the buyer's point of view. When he had no intention of buying the matnes kuna. That's the assumption. Unless it's said otherwise, we have to assume that the matones are out of the picture over here. In which case, over here also, what we have to assume is that shir ha-mocher, if the mocher left anything, then the lokeach basically could tell the mocher, mocher chayav dom le-lokeach, look, I mean, you didn't say anything about selling me the matones. I mean, I assume the matones are going to be kapochavi. And if you didn't say anything about it, so then I had every right to make that assumption. Lo shir, lokeach chayav. And why is the lokeach chayav? Because again, the mocher tells to him, look, what do you think? I sold you and I charged you for the matones. I didn't charge you for the matones. The matones were in there. Obviously, I mean, what are you going to come to me and say, well, I paid you. You should handle the matones for what I give him. I never charged you for that piece of it. If you thought we were buying the matones, you should have said so. The assumption is that that's not the case. So, Omar Lemo for Matanat HaKoyim, Mozav Nelecha, never intended to sell you the matan of the Kayin, and therefore it's in your rishos for free. I never charged you for it, and give it to the Kohen. It's not my business anymore. If I want to do it otherwise, I would say so. You see what the norm is that this is the chat.
And who gets the mitzvah?
Well, the case of matan is, I mean, it depends on the chiyuv on there is different than the rishon case. I mean, the guy who has the din of the Tevas HaNoah should have the right of the Nesina. If you let him have it, so then he's giving it to him. He's in the Tevas HaNoah and he's doing the actual Nesina. What's left? Hadron Aloch Reishis Hagez. This is the end run, gentlemen. Shiluach HaKein. Noheg Ba'aretz V'chutz La'aretz. So again, we're bringing in here issues, as we've pointed out. We finally got to the Gemara that is going to go through now all of the various formulas that the Mishnah used. You know, they don't seem to have any meaning. I mean, what would be the din Ba'aretz V'chutz La'aretz? What does Shiluach HaKein have to do with Mitzvah Tatuiz Ba'aretz? Bifnei Abaye, Shalot Yifnei Abaye, what's a Negeya? B'chulin Havalob Mugdashim, which we'll see. And there are, interesting, it is a connection, after all, over here, only to one of the mitzvah, which is Kisui Adam, because Ofot have a unique mitzvah, and Ofot and Chayot have a unique mitzvah. The unique mitzvah of Ofot and Chayot is Kisui Adam. The unique mitzvah of Ofot alone is the din of Shiluach HaKein. We dealt with Osov as Beno separately, and that's not a din, that's a din in all Behemoth, Chayot, and so on. So, there's a Napka Mina.
Also,
sorry?
Also,
no. So, Chomer b'kise Adam mishiluach HaKein. Kise Adam is more Chomer in the sense that it's noeg b'chayau ba'ov. Furthermore, kise Adam is a din whether it's mizuman or ain't mizuman. It doesn't matter whether you find the bird that you're doing the kisui to, or whether you raise the bird that you're doing the kisui to. You have a certain fear. Shiluach HaKein, first of all, is Inunoi Gelabaov. And it's Inunoi Gelabashena Mizuman. If it's your bird, or it's Mizuman for you to get, then that's not considered to be a chiyuv at all. Ezeo She'enon Mizuman. They have Avazim, Tanagolim, Shikinu Bapardes. They went and they made a nest. They have no intention of being caught. And they have no intention of living in your house. And you want to catch them. Catch me if you can, is what they say to you. So over there, that is considered to be an Eino Mizuman. Aval im kineno b'bayis. If they're stupid enough to, you know, think you're going to be good for them, they take up with you in your house. Yonei hardesios, which grow in your little your dovkat over there. Over there, you're potter mishiluah, because that's not called the kiyumatze. That's called something that's matzu to you. Ov tamei potter mishalei. Ov tamei rovetz al beitzei ov tahor. The tahor rovetz al beitzei ov tamei potter mishalei. If you have a bird which is now being mekonein, the bird itself is tahor, and the eggs are tamei, the blood is tamei, or vice versa. Of an interspecies kinun, then you do not have a chiyuv because you have to have avon and tikach lo. And over here, if the beitzim are tamei, then what's a tikach lo? It's a lacha, not for your kelev. So
anyway, you would know.
Anyway, you would know.
Like basically the bird sitting on the egg. How would you?
Yeah, sure. You can talk. The more gave simanim before simanim beitzim. But anyway, it's not only eggs; it's also the children, the chicks. Now, suppose you have a male korei, a korei zocher that is now being mikonein on eggs. Question is, we'll see in the Gemara whether the korei is an of tahor. Well, but it's a male that is mikonein, and it will be mikonein even on another species, also tahor. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev v'chachamim potrim, which we'll get into in the Gemara what the machlokas is. Because it's in a strange case. It's a bird that has strange monogamy. Usually the male is supposed to.
And that's the nature of it?
Huh?
The regular species, you find the male on top of it.
Yeah, but this complicates the issue. Rabbi Yovin and Rabbi Maisha. So Rabbi Yovin and Rabbi Maisha were discussing the order of these last prakim over here. So we had Iran Nosher, we had Eishel Ezbeno, we had this Rav El Chayayim, that Reshad Agayim, the actual Hakim. All of them follow this formula of the Oretz, the Bechutz, Oretz, B'chnei Abayis, Shalom B'chnei Abayis. Now each one pointed out different issues. They weren't coming to argue with each other. So one of them was talking about the Eretz and Chutz Lareth. So he said, Kol Eichel Etznan Ba'oretz B'chutz Lareth Shalom B'tzarech. The truth is, all of these prokim, there is no Chiddush in Eretz and Chutz Lareth, except for the case of Reishis HaGeis, because Reishis HaGeis, Rabbi Eloi held that Reishis HaGeis is in a Noegel of Aris, to make it clear that Rabbi Eloi's Shita is wrong, and over there is all Shaila. But do we actually have the comparison to Trum, or do we not have the comparison to Trum? So according to Rabbi Eloi, where we have the comparison to Trum, so then in Arkinami, we would say Reishis HaGeis is in a Noegel of Aris. Comes along the Mishnah to say they're finished, but it's not Baris of Bechutzlar. Obviously, this is not 100% accurate, because according to Rabbi Eloi, the same thing would be true about the Matonites, because we would learn the Venasan of the Matonites, of the Zorah Chayim Vakeva, also from Truma. Okay, but since they're interconnected, it's the same Drasha, he doesn't have to mention both of them. It's Lafukim and Rabbi Eloi. It's whatever issues are Lafukim and Rabbi Eloi. The Chadom and the other one, Rebov and Ramash, we forgot which one said which, the other one pointed out that Kolecha the Tzan Bifnei Abayis, Rishalot Bifnei Abayis, is also, what's the name? Yeah, Bifnei Abayis. I mean, the only case where it makes any difference is Osav Ezbeno. Osav Ezbeno, you remember, the whole din of Osav Ezbeno came in the Sugya of Shivas Yoni Tiyat HaKafimo and so on, which was a din in Kachin. So there, as we explained over there, Sakatayt HaMina, Hoyo Binyan of the Kachin Ksiv, maybe it's really a din in the Ilchus Kachim. So even though we have a pasuk that tells us that it applies also to Chulin, but I would have learned out the reason that the Torah put this into the sugya of Kachim is to tell me that it's an application of the dinim of Kachim. Where you have Kachim, then it applies to Chulin. If you don't have Kachim, meaning there's no bias, then it's not no b'chol. Kamash malon. Both of them together pointed out that kol hecha tzan b'chulina b'mukdashim, when it says that it's both b'chulin and b'mukdashim, the opposite is true. In all of the cases, there is indeed a chiddush that it should be chal by chulin and mukdashim both, except for the case of giran nashim. Because by giran nashim, it's obvious. I mean, pshita what would be shem the ikdash. Why do I need to know that something that once had a gita nashe, if I make it kadosh, now it still has a gita nashe. I mean, I should hope so. But what's the finish in that? Says the Gemara, oh, man, we spent a whole dot in gita nashe figuring out what the finish is. Started talking about blood as kachi, we got into the shiloh of bone, about tissue formation and stem cells and ganser mices where the blood is kachi, about ayosim and kadoshi, the mehiman and kadoshi, you're throwing it out the window. We've had a beautiful way of learning that there's a kiddush by gita nashe, and you're saying, it was just sort of agav. I mean, so, what's the matter with you? The Lavu Kimna, the blood is crushing, didn't we go through an awful lot of trouble to explain that? It's talking about the case of blood is crushing, that's different ways of understanding. Yeah, so, but say Rabab and Ramaisha, okay, but look, I mean, my time of Ukimna, why did you try to find a case? You only tried to look for that case, Lavu Shum de Kashalam. Hello, listen to me. You were wondering why you were saying, well, it shouldn't say appeals in the question because Pshita, that's what you said. You said the point that we just made. Back in Gita Anoshi, you said, Pshita, I did the Akashay Fakala, Gidminet. It's a Gidminet. You asked that. So now you were looking around for some excuse. We're coming to tell you, you don't need an excuse. Look, make her look, teacher. You shouldn't have had any problem at all. Because, look, if you take a look at the formula of this Mishnah, I mean, every parrot has got tons of stuff that isn't necessary. The same thing over here, what are you going to say? That in the Barat of the Chutzvar, that that's Nagaya. Those are not Nagaya. So why do you think this is Nagaya? Therefore, it's I need a ton of the turf, I need a Mishalot the turf. The fact that we will throw in this formula in all of the prakim, it's not problematic. What did the Gemara go through it for? Obviously, we look for Ramazans is a child to get a kiddush out of this Mishnah for us. But overall, looking at it from a global point of view, the fact that the Tana has one, two, three areas that these formulae address, in each one they address something or other, I format it in this way so that everybody should remember, look, these are the parameters, and now you have to fill in the values of those parameters for all of the issues. Sometimes you say it's obvious what the values are. Fine, sometimes it is. That doesn't mean that we don't need a chart that we're going to fill in. What's the din of crushing? What's the din of the bias? What's the din in the species? What's the din of chulin? What's the din of bizbanchavesam igushkayam? What's the din of chutzlar? And so on. Make a list, now fill it in. So you can't ask, every time I fill it in, it asks me a bit. As long as there's places where it's a kiddush. B'chulin avaloda muktashim says the Mishnah, there is no fear of shiluach hakein by muktashim. Hamaybo, how do we know? Well, because it says shaleach k'shalach asa'ein b'misha tamitzuv ele shalcho yatsa zeshiyah tamitzuv ele shalcho ele levi yolede yizbar. I understand. Well, what's the Torah going to tell me that shaleach k'shalach, where if I find I stumble upon a bird of kachin that has escaped or something, I have a chiyuv to bring it back to Gizbar. Well, it's in my business to be shaleach k'shalach. So therefore, it can't include that. Says Ravina, well, if that's the case, if you have an oath to harsha haragat ha-nefesh, for example, a very dangerous parakeet. So your pigeon has become a killer of a pigeon. And now, it's going to be chayav misa. So, I mean, you can't be mekayem shiluach hakein on it if you meet it. Because my time, no, I'm a crush, shalach, shalach, esayim, dafim yishat tabet tzuvela shalcho, ashevian over here, yot tzvesh, yat tabet tzuvela shalcho, like the other big deal. You have to bring it to the court? We may have to bring it to the jail. If you don't, you need to come out dine. If it was actually already in court, so I mean, what are we talking about over here? Bartolo, I mean, what, how did I find it over here before? I mean, it's being executed. Ella, the loco martine for la suya. The point that it's coming to say is that Lamaica's like this, you would say, look, what's my business? I got to bring it to court. Yes. Because you need to
bring him to the best of the kingdom, it will be Arta Aramik Yerbech. It is indeed, that's why the Torah had to be Arta Aramik Yerbech. It's not simply a question of standing by. When you have things that are dangerous to the commonwealth, you have to go and be Mazakin, to be the buyer of the rock. The Mela couldn't be that the Torah told me a mitzvah shalach shalach on this level. Now, tomorrow we need to still deal with the question of where do we get a mezuman, a name of mezuman, that is still kayash. That seems a little strange. Okay, to be busy. Bring it to Beijing. It's not kayash. It's before the best of possible.
And if you kill those birds, we're not building. Or it's the business. Or it's
money.
He's saying, what are you going to bring?